Okay. IT action plan. My only worry about that is we would like to have your opinion about the initiative that we're doing, but we will see. Probably I will find another way to get this feedback by a survey or by using the survey by ICS, but we will get that feedback on you. But today, let's present the IT action plan. We will provide you with an update on the three milestones of our IT action plan. And for this part, I would like to invite Guylaine, our CIO, to give us the information about that part.
So it's unfortunate. We'll really try to do a survey to get the answers we were looking for here because, well, you saw the results of the survey, and I think everybody was really disappointed when we saw them. Of course, it's a baseline. We have to see how we will evolve in time. But the results were low. They're low for us, and they're low for McGill also, so that's a preoccupation. But when we look at the results, and that's why one of the reasons why we want some support and some insight is that it's puzzling. There's significant variance between the different units. There's also some answers where you look at one answer and it's very high, you look at another one, it's really low, and it seems to be pretty much the same question. So we have difficulty interpreting. So the way that we want to address that is twofold. The first one is having all directors meet with their staff and managers with their staff and try to get a sense what exactly was meant here. When we see this one and that one, how did you interpret that question? How did we? We're all going to also going to try to get some support from Aon to see with their experience. They've been doing this for 14 years. They must have a clear understanding of what people are answering to when they're looking at this question or that question that we're not necessarily very good at reading. The other point is that how do we answer this? In some cases, like one of the very low indicators is on processes. So does it mean that we should improve our processes? Does it mean that we don't like the work that's currently happening where we're revising those processes? So what exactly is the message that's being sent here, and what is the appropriate response to improve the satisfaction or the engagements of our staff? So I'm really sad that we won't be able to get that feedback, but still we'll look at that. So currently, we have different initiatives that are in place or ongoing around engagement and the way we do things. So the most important one is the process mapping of the IT business processes. This has been a top-down process where we identified the very high-level processes, and we're currently going down, down, down in terms of step and involving more and more people to look at processes that really affect their day-to-day work and how we organize that with a vision that is transversal instead of being unit by unit, really trying to see it across the board in IT, how different processes are working. There's also we're preparing different training plans. So there's the training for developers to get more familiar with the Groovy Grails environment and master that those tools. There's the PMI certification that's finished. I think our last project manager is now accredited. I think it finished this summer, if I remember correctly. We're also preparing a training program for BAs, so all the new business analysts will have a training program to also get certification around their role. And there's been ITIL training. I think pretty much everyone took at least the basic ITIL training, but there's also people that are involved in the main ITIL processes who are taking much more detailed training on that. In terms of quality of service, one of the important program that was started before I arrived at McGill was the Breaking the Silos approach. And we're really trying to, when we have an issue and we're looking at different problems, to try to bring everybody around the table to assess that. So, for example, the presentation that was just done by Ryan and Gary, you see that there are many initiatives that require the expertise of different groups, and that we are really working hard to bring everybody around the table to address those. And finally, introducing IT frameworks into what we do. The first one was the governance, so the putting in place coordination committees, the steering committees for the projects, the IT steering committee is all part of that process, and trying to bring the governance to be involved in significant issues like the funding issues, and the good example was the asset management problems that we currently have. There's the enterprise architecture, PMI, information security. So there are different standards that are, you know, we wish to either we're currently implementing or that we will implement gradually. There's ITIL. There's also development methodology. We had a very interesting presentation this morning by Sharon around Agile, but there's also macroscope from a higher level project development approach that is being implemented. So why are we doing this? So that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. So I think the main reason we're doing this is that we want to improve the quality of our services. We have high quality services. We look, for example, at surveys that were done with students and with others. There is a high level of satisfaction, but improvement is always possible. We want to focus on McGill's priority. And frankly, it's hard to know what are McGill's priority, because we get a lot of very conflicting messages in terms of what are the strategic plans and how are they oriented. And that's one of the things that we want to address with governance. We want to encourage a performance-oriented culture where we get pride out of the quality of the services that we're and a sad one is that we want to reduce the impact of workforce planning. Workforce planning currently is clawing back half the salary of anybody that leaves. This year, we're already over $200,000 of cuts, and we're only at 6 months. So that is significant. That means because we have and have had significant turnover. I think we're probably the unit that has the highest turnover. And that's not just because we have bad result surveys, but that's also because IT is a very dynamic employment sector currently. There is a lot of job offering. The salaries are good. The conditions are good. So mobility is significant in that sector and has been for the last 5 years. The numbers are pretty much the same year after year. There is high turnover. So that means that we're going to be particularly affected by the workforce planning program. And we're being affected in terms of reducing resources at a time where we have increased demand. Because all the units that are currently being affected by workforce planning are turning to us and saying, ooh, I'm losing that person, that person. So now can you automate this? Can you arrange that? Can you give us this? So the demand is increasingly directly linked to the same program that is cutting our resources. So in terms of efficiency, it becomes really important for us to know where do we need the most our resources, where can we improve our processes and maybe reallocate resources from one sector to another. One of the areas is, can we reduce the effort we're putting in support and maintenance and put it on evolution and new projects instead? So answering all that demand that's coming instead of supporting existing system cannot never be 100%, but can we improve and do that better so that we can better allocate resources? So that one is the other one, and that was more of a joke, satisfy the manager's power trip. We like to change everything, so we come in and we change everything. But really, you know, there may be that sentiment, but frankly, it's really not what is motivating us. And we're, you know, it's not always obvious to say, well, what can we do to react to conditions that are not under our power? You know, we're being driven by different factors and different events that are happening, and we have to have the best possible response to that. And one of the ways of doing that is have a clear understanding of what do we do, how do we do it, can we improve? Are there things that we do that we shouldn't be doing? Are there things that we're not doing that we should be doing? And being able to present that in a way that would give us the business case to get appropriate funding. Because when I went go and see my boss and I said, please, can I be dispensed? Just, I'll do the workforce planning, but not now, in a year or in 2 years, because in the last year, we've been really trying hard to reposition. You know, each time somebody's leaving, we're saying, okay, we have a position. Do we rehire exactly the same profile, or do we hire somebody with a different profile because that's where we have real needs? So we've been repositioned. So in a year and a half, we've managed to reposition 19 positions. This is enormous. This has a lot of impact, and that improves our availability to answer our users' needs. But now, being clawed back, we can't do that anymore. Because we're just saying, oh my God, we're trying to just block the positions that are absolutely essential and that we need to keep. So that's disappointing because what he told me is that, okay, show me the plan. Tell me exactly what you have now and how you're organized now and what you're going to be doing tomorrow and how are you going to improve your processes and where are you going to reduce and where are you going to augment and what is going to be your organization in 3 years. I said, I'm not ready to answer you because we haven't finished our process. At least we're doing the process. Some other organization are being told the same thing and they haven't even started to look at that. So they're in a worse position than we currently are. So I won't get the results. So managing the change. You all know that that slide. You have here what is called by a lot of people the Valley of Despair. Any change that we do, you know, you start at a certain point, you have a certain level of productivity, you introduce change. You dip. And once you have become more familiar, your learning curve has passed, everything, and you start to get better, and things at the end are better than they were before. But that dip is significant. That's what I was talking about when I was talking about gap. Gap, because we're introducing so many new things, the learning curve is really impacting significantly that project. So we had a little thing to know where you position, how you feel, where you position yourself, so we won't know. And finally, the IT career roadmap. So all those processes, one of the result of that is to for us, and that will permit us to absorb workforce planning, succession planning, etc., is we need to have clear definitions of what are the positions that we need in IT, what are those positions in terms of roles and responsibilities, the experience that's required, the skills that are required, etc. Currently, we have 102 titles at McGill, different titles in IT. So we're about 300 employees. We have 102 titles. That is not very efficient because to give a sense to someone to say, okay, what can I do to go there? It's so different. There are all those different definitions and with nuances here and there where people don't get a real sense of what are the positions, what are the roles, and where could I fit in that organization. So the idea is while we're doing the review of the processes, it permits us to identify what are the different roles that are involved in those processes. And from those roles, we're able to say, okay, what are the functions? What are the regroupment of roles that are natural and that permits us to identify? Our objective is to go to about 20 job definition for all of ITS. with clear positioning. You already saw, you know, those four levels. Either you're following a managerial progression or a professional progression. You go from level one to level four so that it's clear where everything is positioned, what are the differences between those positions, and a more limited numbers of job definition, because one of the important thing, I think, is that people always see progression as passing from one to two and two to three and three to four. But in fact, in many cases, if you want to pass to a higher level, you need broader. So you need also to be able to move horizontally. And currently, our job description does not permit that. It's very, very difficult. It's not obvious at all. Nobody knows, okay, I'm currently a sysadmin, let's say, in NCS, and I would like to do a security work. What is the transition? What is required to pass from one or the other? And sometimes those become blockages in terms of, and sometimes the differences are really minuscule. So there has to be a way for people to have a very clear understanding of what they need to pass from one to the other and get that breadth of experience that can permit them to go at a higher level, especially in the managerial track. Finally, I had a personal question, the CIO breakfast. And you won't be able to vote, so I won't know. Initially, we started that program for me to get a chance of meeting all of you. It was impossible to do that individually, since you're more than 300. There's no way I could organize in my, you know, it would have taken years to go around. So the breakfast was thought as a very interesting way for me to, you know, meet smaller groups and really get to hear you talk and describe what you're doing. That has been done. Currently, unless you're a new employee, everybody has been seen at least once in the CIO breakfast. I like them. I find them very interesting. We have a lot of times very good conversation. But one of the things that they don't provide is the type of insight that would help me really understand the results of the survey. I don't feel that it's bringing me that. So my question is twofold in a way. So do you think there is value in the CIO breakfast? Because I like them, as I said, but so that that would mean that there would be a cycle about every once in a year and a half, you would come and participate in one of those breakfasts. So that's the first question. The second question was more in terms of what are the type of things that we could do or the type of activities that we could do that would permit us to get a finer understanding of the issues that you all live. And frankly, I'm open to suggestions, and I would hope that you would, yes?
Maybe it's a question of structure. Instead of doing a breakfast with 15 departments in the same room, what about doing a breakfast per sector or departments?
That could be an interesting formula also. I think the idea of having 15 group was to get kind of a breaking the silo again, and also to get people to hear what other people in very different groups were doing or living. And I think that part was interesting. But you're right that in some cases, meeting with a specific unit and say, okay, what's going on in your unit? What are the issues? So would that be something that should be done instead of or over? You know, so keep the breakfast, maybe reduce the number, the frequency of them, and do some unit meetings, or forget the CIO breakfast and do, I think it's an interesting suggestion, or if anything else that you want to propose. But I think that there has to be a way for me to get a fine understanding of what is lived or what are the issues in the units and at everybody's level. So I have the opportunity of doing that a lot with the managers, but mostly directors, to be honest. I don't meet with the managers that often. I think that I would really appreciate your suggestions on that. And we'll send a survey with the questions that we had, and we'll ask free-form questions where you can do suggestions. But Jean-Guy, I think that's an interesting one. I'll certainly take it into consideration. So if there's any other suggestions or questions or comments that you would have around this presentation or any other presentation or any other questions. Okay, so I thank you all for coming, and see you in the spring.